Praise the Lord, He is faithful. Wow, that is amazing. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm thankful for that. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. It fits in with the message. And I'm glad she sang and preached and she wrote this message out for me, so it all lines up there. But no, it is a blessing. It's a blessing to be in God's house. And I appreciate you guys. Take your Bibles, Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And we're going to read two verses, kind of separated. We'll read them out loud together. Just good for us to hear God's word, to read God's word. And we'll read these two verses out loud. Romans chapter 15, verses 4, and then we'll read verse number 13 after that. But we'll read these out loud together. Romans chapter 15, verse number 4 and verse number 13. All right, if you're there, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, we're getting there. All right, good, good, good. Amen. Let's go ahead. Verse number 4, let's begin. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And then read verse number 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to be with us. God, I ask that you please be with us, Lord. I want to kind of slow down my nerves. I'm running like a racehorse. But Lord, I thank you for this time. I want to be able to present a truth that people would be able to take home with them. Lord, not just for today, not just to hear and come in one ear and out the other. But Lord, help us to learn, Lord, what your word says about hope. About the hope that lies within you. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us such a powerful word, such a small word, but a powerful word to which we can live our life by. Lord, I love you so much, and I'm thankful for the time you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. Notice what it says there. Before it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. There is a group or a vein of people, Christians so-called, that try to say that the Old Testament is no longer necessary. We'll just rip it out, no longer need it. We only need the New Testament. That's the new covenant they like to use. The covenant is something that is confirmed. A covenant is confirmed by blood. And Jesus Christ only died one time. This is the Bible. The Bible has given us this the Word of God as examples for us. Why? Look at verse number 4. For our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Wow. Hope. I am so thankful that God knows and has been tempted in all points, like as we have and are being tempted, yet without sin. Jesus Christ tells us as a believer that we can live this life here on earth with hope. We can live this life here on earth through the power of the Holy Ghost. And it says it there, verse number 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in what? Hope. So this God of hope wants us to abound in hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. As a believer, you have the Holy Ghost living inside of you. The Bible says that He indwells the believer. And this power from the Holy Ghost gives us the unction or the will, if you will, to hope in the God of hope. We have something called hope that God has given us. Hope is a very powerful word. It's a very small word, but it's a very powerful word. We live in a world full of hopelessness. We live in a world that just looks at this life and go, it's evil. If God is real, why is there evil in this world? If God is real, why do bad things happen to good people? You know, if God is real, we just live our lives and it's already pre-planned. It's, you know, evil men are going to rise, good men are going to stand sometimes. Those men are going to die off and evil will rise again. What's the point? And all we are filled with in this world is hopelessness. This world does not offer hope for anybody. They don't offer hope to continue your life. They don't offer anything that we can hold on to. This world gives us nothing but hopelessness. We talked a little bit on Wednesday. I'm not going to repeat all of it, what I preached on Wednesday. But this word hope is very powerful. The Bible uses the word hope 133 times in Scripture. 75 times in the Old Testament, 58 times in the New Testament. This the definition by Webster's 1828 dictionary says this: hope is confidence in a future event. confidence in a future event, the highest degree of well-founded expectation for good. I'll get into it a little bit here, but we live in optimism and not hope. Optimism is where everything's going to be great. We're going to be, life is like it's just like frolicking in the meadow. It's going to be nothing but roses and you're just going to have a great time. That's not the way life is. If you've been alive for more than 2 years, you understand. Man, those teeth start coming in at 2 years old, or you know, even before then. They start falling out. New teeth come in. You get older. You go to school. Man, that seems pretty hopeless. Then you have problems that are associated with relationships that you're learning. Then you have, after that, then you get a car. Anybody that has a car, you understand, it's pretty hopeless. I mean, your car's going to break down eventually at some point. You know, there are no cars that live forever. And then if you get married, you're going to get a house, or you move on your own, you got your own house. A house does not fix itself. A house comes with problems. Even a brand spanking new house comes with problems and continues to have problems until the house falls apart or you leave. Like, that's just how it goes. But we live in this world where the viewpoint is all hopelessness. We live in a world where everything is empty. Everything is vain. There's no point to even living this life. Man, that is where I'm going to preach on this morning, about this word hope. Again, hope is defined as confidence in a future event. Another definition is an opinion or belief not amounting to certainty, but grounded on substantial evidence. We have hope, and we're going to talk about some things that we should hope for. One of those things is eternal life. We have hope. God did not specifically come to me in person and say, Anthony, if you believe on Jesus Christ, you will get saved. Now, yes, I have the Bible, but hope tells me, I'm not 100%, yes, I'm certain I'm going to go to heaven when I die because of the Bible, but there is an aspect of faith that's there. And hope tells me I'm hoping for eternal life, not just wishful thinking, but I'm hoping it's a future event that I have confidence is going to happen based on substantial evidence that God gives us in the Bible. That is what hope is. Hope is both positive and it's restraining. Hope is something that you learn the restraints to hope, all right? My kids, for some reason, I'm sure your kids were the same way, just think that they can jump off. They get on the rail of the couch and they just jump off like they're going to fly or something. I have no idea what's going to happen. But they just jump off and they just expect that they're going to get caught or they're just going to start flying around. I have no idea what's going to happen. But until they fall for that first time, they have hope that things are just going to work out. Man, I jumped off one time. I landed on the couch cushions. I'm good to go. I'm going to do it again. And until they fall off and hurt themselves, that's where the restraint comes. Okay, well, I need to watch what I'm doing. But hope is both positive and it's restraining. It's very interesting in that. Your hope is affected by your past experiences with hope. And we'll talk about that here, but hope is something that we each can have. It's available to everybody, is this hope, because it comes from the God of hope. Here's a big question. How do I hope for things, and how do I deal with the despair of not getting it? Here's what happens in our life. We hope for something. We hope that, you know, my life is going to turn out this way. And when it doesn't turn out that way, or the investment that you've made, or, you know, the person that you've spoken to, it doesn't happen. It doesn't come to fruition. What happens then? We have hope that God gives us. I'll show you that here. Hope is an emotion and it's in a position. The opposite is paranoia. I should have had it written. I've got the word written out, but I should have had the pronunciation. But paranoia, all right? What is paranoia? Paranoia is something that has happened in our past. It's experience that we've had in the past, and it hinders you from moving forward. You don't believe me? What about a squirrel, okay? A squirrel comes running in the middle of the road, sees a car, and freezes. I have no idea what I'm going to do now. And then, you know, you give it the nod as you drive by and he's gone. All right. I'm not swerving for a squirrel. There are squishy things and there are not squishy things. You avoid the not squishy things. I'm sorry. If you guys you swerve and run into the ditch, I'm sorry. I'm just not going to do that for a squirrel. But here's what happens. Paranoia comes in when we have an experience that didn't turn out so well and we lose hope in something. My daughter, Savannah, she's a little bit of a daredevil, but we have a playground, and in that playground there's a ladder that they can climb up. And there's nothing in the ladder, it's just, you know, you got steps, and then it's just open underneath. And she is small enough that she could fall through, but I'm dad, all right, it's okay, honey, come on, you can do it, let's go. And so I taught her how to do it, and man, she was going to town. She was climbing up that ladder, sliding down, she was climbing up the ladder, sliding down, until she climbed up the ladder, slipped, and fell through from the top onto the ground. Poor thing. You know, it was 2 feet in the air. All right, poor thing. But you know what? She did not want to go back to that ladder. There was a thing that she hoped that ladder was going to hold her as she got up. But then experience came in, and she became paranoid about the ladder. She became paranoid about heights. Why? That happens in our life as well. We have hope that something's going to turn out the way that we want it to. And then when it doesn't, well, man, we don't want to move forward on anything. We let that paranoid keep us from moving forward. And that is where the harm comes into this. Hope identifies a place of importance, but hope moves you towards a goal. Hope is what keeps us going forward. I don't live my life, just expecting things to happen. I know I've got to work for them. And hope gives me that little bit of a boost to keep my life moving forward, to keep me going toward a goal. When we hope for something, it becomes important. We realize that we lack it. Maybe you hope for a job. You hope that you get this kind of a house, or you hope that you get this kind of a relationship, or you hope that you have this promotion. What is that? That is hoping in something. You realize you don't have it, but then it pushes you towards that. When I was growing up, man, I wanted a car. And man, I was hoping that I was going to get a car. But guess what? The world wishful thinking hoping, what the world's definition of hope is, wishful thinking, is I'm just going to sit in my room and just hope that I get this car. No, biblical hope says, I'm going to hope I get this car, and I'm going to work my tail off until I get it. That is what keeps me moving, that goal that I push myself using hope. Hope moves us through uncertainty to a goal. Again, optimism says, everything's going to be great. Life it's just all good and dandy. It's just nothing but flowers and roses. But hope tells me this, I don't know if everything is going to be great, but I'm going to work everything I can until I get to that goal. That's the difference between hope. When we were coming here, we sold our house and we were homeless. And I was like, man, we hoped that we were trying to get a house. And man, we were hoping as much as we can. And we were working. We were calling. We were looking at online. We were trying anything. And we had preacher look at like 150 houses. I don't know, maybe not that many. But we were looking as much as we can. And we were hoping that we get a house. But you know, it didn't actually happen until it happened, okay? We didn't know, but we were pushing towards a goal until it happened. We have a wave of emotion that says, oh man, this is it. This is the house we're going to get. And it didn't happen. All right, well, I just give up. We quit. It's not the Lord's will for us to go. No, we just kept pushing forward. And that is what hope is. There was a man that was sentenced to death. He obtained a reprieve from the king. He said, I assure you, king, if you let me live for 1 year, I will teach your horse how to fly. And the king said, really? Okay. Well, I will let you live. I will give you a reprieve. You're still sentenced to death. But if you can't teach my horse to fly in a year, then we're going to go ahead and continue on with we're going to kill you. All right. That's just how it is, whatever he did. And so somebody came up and asked the man, said, why on earth would you ask such a weird thing? He said, well, look, this is what's going to happen. I've got a year. There's a lot of things that can happen in a year. Man, maybe the king is going to die and I'll be able to get everything forgiven. I'll be able to live my life. I may die in a year. Or who knows, in a year I may be actually able to teach that horse how to fly. But hope keeps that man going forward. Don't take somebody's hope away from us. Hope is what we have to push us towards the end of the goal. What is hope defined biblically? It's the ability to believe in something, but then the ability to find alternative paths to reach that outcome. I'm not going to let things stop me. When things don't go my way, when there are problems that happen in my life, if I don't have hope, well, man, I'm just going to stop. I'm going to end. I'm going to sit in the corner, suck my thumb, and have my pity party. But that's just what I'm going to do because I don't have hope to continue. Hope says, look, hey, that's not how I wanted it to happen, but man, I'm still closer to over here. I'm going to keep working at this. This is what hope is. We become afraid of hope when we are constantly met with disappointment because we put our hope in the wrong things. The Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. When I'm putting my hope in things that are not eternal, when I put my hope in man or money or material things, I lose hope a lot because those things fail me. And what happens is we get our heart, the heart is made sick when we are constantly met with disappointment. And I'm hoping in this thing and this thing has failed me. And so, man, people just don't want to hope in anything. But hope takes a little bit of risk. There are no hopeless situations, somebody said. There are only people who have grown hopeless about those situations. Hope is there. Hope is available. And God wants us to have hope. He is a God of hope. And through the Holy Spirit, we can have hope to continue. But we look at situations and go, I'm done. I'm tired of getting my hopes set on something and then it not happening. I'm tired of the disappointment. But that is not what true hope is about. Hope is about risk. This is where the gospel hits metal. All right, this is the importance about it. You know, we hope in eternal life. But you know what? If some of these Calvinists believe, they believe that anybody that's going to get saved is going to get saved. And there's no real reason for us to go out and tell people about Jesus, because if God wanted them to be saved, he would have them be saved. No, that's where hope is gone. There's no reason for me to even live at that point. God has given me the gospel so that I can share it with other people. I have to take that hope that I have been given and to give it to other people. So again, hope is about risk. You need courage to hope in hope. Sometimes we get discouraged about hope because we're placing our trust, our hope, in these temporal things. And God wants us to trust in some things that we'll look at. What are you hoping in this morning? Are you hoping in a good marriage? Hoping to have good, godly kids, good, godly grandkids? Are you hoping to quit smoking? Maybe to quit drinking? Maybe to lose some weight? Are you hoping to increase your finances? Maybe you're hoping for salvation this morning. And you're like, well, I'm hoping I'm doing good enough to get saved. And what are you hoping in this morning? Are you hoping for a better life, a better prayer life, a closer walk with God? What are we hoping in this morning? I want us to look at some things here, and I won't be long. But number one, I have to tell you that's part of the preacher's fine print. I have to tell you that. But we're going to look at some things. Number one is how to hope. How to hope. When I went to college at 18 years old, I had came to college, and right before, the week before I was coming to college, I was here. I was at my college. I was getting things lined up, and I totaled my car, like completely totaled my car. And I had to pay. I didn't have a car at that point. I didn't have any money, of course. You know, why are you going to plan for something? You know, it just happened, right? So I come to college and all I had was $200. That was it. And the man at the desk says, okay, well, it looks like it's going to be $1,100 to get things set up. And then, we'll get the first payment of $380 something in a month. I was like, oh, well, here, I got $200. And I gave him that money, and I had nothing else after. Like, that literally was my last bit of money. And you know what? I had to go through college on hope. I said, you know what? I'm going to finish college. I'm going to finish it. I'm going to get this done. I want to finish Bible college. And so I went to Bible college on hope. The only thing that would keep me going was not the food, of course. It was not the closeness that I had to the teachers. No, it was just the hope that I was going to finish one day. And here's the thing, you have to learn how to hope. Number one in this point here is you need to have something in which to hope for. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you according to a reason of the hope that is in you. What hope do you have in you? You know, you're supposed to be ready. We're supposed to be prepared for somebody that says, hey, you know, brother Wiley, how do you know for sure? How do you have this hope that you're going to go to heaven one day? How do you have this hope that God is real? Man, we're supposed to be ready for those things, to give to every man an answer that asketh you. A number of years ago, a researcher, a science lab, they committed a test. And what they did is they had this big, they had two sets of tubs. And then they had these rats, and there was these tubs filled with water, and the sides were slick, the rats couldn't climb up them. And so they dumped these rats in both of these containers. Now, the difference between the two containers is one of the containers, they just let the rats sit there. And eventually, after the rats were trying to make their way up, they eventually died after about an hour. The other container, what they would do every 10 minutes is they would take the rats, all of the rats, out of the water, and then they would put the rats back into the water. Now, they're still in the same situation. They got removed from that water, and then they got dropped back into it. They're still fighting for their life. Now, they did that every 10 minutes. They would take those rats out, put them back in. Take those rats out, put them back in. Now, the one set that they just left in, they died after an hour. The other set lived for 24 hours before they finally just didn't have the strength to continue. But what was the difference between the two? One, there was no hope. There was nothing. They were there. They were going to fight as much as they could, but eventually they're going to die. The other end, they had hope. They're like, man, I just got to keep fighting for just a little bit longer. So I've been pulled out before. I've seen dry air before. I can do this. I just got to keep fighting a little bit longer. And those rats that had hope lived longer than the ones that did not. I told you this earlier, but we live in a world that has no hope. And man, what's the point of life? You know, you hear that all the time. Well, why? If God's really out there, then why do I go through these problems? That is a person that is living without hope. God wants to give you hope. What is keeping you afloat? What is driving you towards your goal? You know, putting hope in these temporary things, we talked about it. You know, I have a family member here recently that it just told me, he's like, you know, there's just no point anymore. What's the point of us praying? What's the point of us going to church? What's the point of us living like Christians? But you know what he tells me? He talks about the problems that he has instead of God. And he says, you know, this person over here, they failed us. They didn't help me. I believed in them. I trusted in them to help me in these hard times. And then when the hard times came, nobody showed up. You know what his trust was? Was not in God. His trust was in man. And then, you know, oh man, you got other people that just, man, I'm trusting in this finances, this job that I've got. This is going to keep me going. And then once you lose that job, you've lost your hope. Why? Because you're placing your hope in temporal things. Things that are going to fail you. Things that are going to mess up. And God wants us to place our hope in eternal things. These are the right things that we should hope for. We need to have hope in salvation. The Bible says in Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. What are some things that we need to have hope in? We need to have hope in eternal life. The Bible says in Titus 3:7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I look forward to one day seeing Jesus Christ. That is something I can hope in. That is something that I can hold to. Man may come by and says, you better renounce Jesus Christ. No, that stuff is a bunch of garbage. That stuff is a bunch of just fairy tale spooky stuff. No, I have hope in eternal life. I have certainty based on evidence that the eternal life is real and one day I will experience eternal life. Man, if our hope is built on this trying to live a physical life, you know, there are healthy people that are dying every day. All right, but if I'm believing on, well, I just gotta do this diet or do this exercise, man, when you die or you get into an accident or something, you get an injury, and you're trusting in those things, then you've lost your hope. But my hope is not in these things in this world. My hope is in eternal things, one of those being eternal life. The other thing, the Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 81, says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. I hope in thy word. We read it there in Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of these scriptures might have hope. I hope in God's word. I can gain some confidence to keep moving forward in my life because of God's word. You know why? Because this Bible is full of some sinners. This Bible is full of people that made some pretty big mistakes in their life, yet they became success stories, not because of who they were, but because of what God was able to do through them. God gave them hope to continue. And we as Christians receive hope from the God of hope through the Word of hope. The Scriptures give us hope. You know what? We as Christians live hopeless because we don't love God's Word. We aren't reading God's Word. I said this Wednesday, but I'm not asking you to wake up every morning and just, you know, kiss your Bible and smell your Bible. Oh man, I'm so thankful. Man, but it wouldn't hurt us to do that. It wouldn't hurt us to open God's Word every now and then, every morning, every night, every evening, and just say, God, what do you have for me today? Well, I'm just so hopeless. I ain't got no reason to continue. When's the last time you read your Bible? When's the last time you've seen God take an adulterer like David, a murderer like David, and do something special through him? Well, hey, if God can do that for David, God can sure do that through me. What about a scaredy cat and a coward like Abraham? Man, he was a coward. He said, look, all right, honey, we're about to go to Egypt. We're going to see the king. Just say that me and you are brother and sister, okay? And so that way I can keep my life. You know what? I look at those stories and I'm like, man, he was a coward. But then God did something miraculous through him. Man, that is what gives me hope to keep going in my difficulties. We talked about it a little bit on Wednesday, but just the book of Psalms is such a powerful book to be able to gain some hope from. You look at some people that are in some pretty dire situations, and yet they had hope to continue, not because of who they were, but because of the scripture, but because of God. They had hope to continue. So yes, number one, we hope in salvation. Number two, we hope in our Bible, the King James Bible. And then we hope in God. The Bible says in Psalm 42:11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquietest in me? That hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who's the health of my countenance and my God." You know what? I have met, and I don't know exactly if this is the right terminology, but I've met some pretty atheistic Christians. They believe enough in God to give them salvation, but after that, they're done. Yeah, God did his thing. I trusted in him for salvation. But man, these problems that I have, I can't do anything. I don't know what I'm going to do about them. And we believe God for salvation, yet we remove God out of our life for any other area in our life. We have a hope, not in just salvation, not in just the scriptures, but we have hope in God. God is a real creator of this world. This world did not happen by accident. This world was not a conglomeration of cells that eventually just kind of formed their own mind and became a tadpole that swam out of the ocean and then eventually grew legs and hair and tail. We don't believe in that thing, but why do we live like that? Why do we live like we don't serve a God of hope? To keep you going, to keep you continuing. These things are perfect. Salvation, the Bible, God. These things are perfect. These things have never let me down. God has never let me down. I, for sure, have let God down. We talked about it, Miskatora, with the faithfulness of God. Man, God has always been faithful. If God was as faithful to me as I am to him, I'd been dead a long, long time ago. But God is faithful. I can trust in God. I can have hope in God, the God of hope, Romans 15, verse number 13 tells us. The devil, this is what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to take away as much hope from you as possible. There was a man that was diagnosed, he was in the office with his doctor, and the doctor said, "Look, you got stage 4 cancer, it doesn't look good. It's, you know, you're gonna die here in the next couple weeks, if not a month, but you're gonna die here soon." And the man's like, "Well, no, I can go. I've heard of some treatments in Mexico, or I've heard of these other things I can try." And the doctor said, "No, there's no use. You're going to die. Get your things in order. You're going to die." And that man left the doctor's office defeated. And he came right back into that doctor's office, knocked on the door, looked at the doctor straight in his face, and he said, "Look, you've taken away the one thing that I have left. You've taken away my hope. You've taken away my hope." And that's exactly what the devil does to us. He tries to take away the hope out of a Christian. He takes away, if you will, the wind out of your sails. What did the devil do? The first time we see the devil interacting with human beings here on earth was Eve and Adam in the garden with the serpent. And what did the devil do? He said, "Yea, hath God said?" What did he do? Took away her hope in what God had said, hope in the Bible. He said, "Look, you're not going to surely die. You know, you're going to live as God. God is just trying to keep you from being a God." And what is that? The devil, just in those couple of phrases, was able to take away her hope out of God's word, her hope out of the God whom she served, and he was able to fill her life with despair, and the sin that she committed afterwards was an act of hopelessness. She's like, "Well, I've been treated wrongly. There's this, I can be a God here, just like God. Well, I'm going to take that." And guess what? When she committed that sin, was it all that she hoped for? No. Why is that? Because the devil is full of this fake candy-like hope. This stuff that man, it looks so good, it looks so tempting, but as soon as you get a hold of it, it's empty, it's worthless. That's the devil's hope. God's hope is not like that. God's hope gets us through the things that we face. Don't lose hope in God. Don't lose hope in his word, and don't lose hope in your salvation. So number one is, how do I hope? What are the things that I hope in? And then number two, what to do when I lose hope? Keep hoping. Keep hoping. I'll say this and we'll be quick here. But 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." You know, those people that have gone on before us that have died. I don't look at my grandfather that passed away a couple years ago. I don't look at him and go, Well, man, I hope he's doing all right. No, I know he's in heaven. He's shouting. He's running up and down screaming. He died at 92 years old. My goodness, he's running. I've never seen him run like that. I'm sure he's running all up and down those streets of gold. What is that? I have hope concerning those which are asleep. And I have hope concerning my own salvation. The world tries to pull that away. You got to keep hoping. You got to keep hoping. There was a school system that had a program to go into the hospitals to take some substitute teachers and go into the hospitals and help some of the kids that were in the hospitals. They were in out of school for a period of time and they were not able, they sent these teachers in so they don't fall too far behind in their studies. And so this one teacher was sent to a little boy. He was in a burn unit and I was sent to this little boy and man, he did not look good at all. He was struggling, just health-wise. The doctors and nurses are like, man, he's given up. And so this lady goes in and she says, hello, my name is Miss So-and-so, and I'm here to help you learn your adverbs and your verbs. Okay. And then that little boy, she spent time with the little boy, then she left, and she just felt like she didn't do anything. Like it was just a worthless time for her. Just what was the point of me going out there? But then she hears the next day the doctor's office calls her boss or corporation and says, what did that lady tell that little boy? And they of course got a hold of her. The boss is like, man, I'm going to have to fire her. What did this little boy do? And the lady gets on the phone and the doctors and nurses are like, what did you tell that little boy? Man, before you came, he was hopeless. Man, his vitals were going down. He just had lost his reason to live. But after you came, man, he's just bounced back. He's responding to treatment. He's listening to us. What did you tell him? And she's like, all I did was try to teach him some of the verbs and adverbs. That's all I was trying to do. And they asked the little boy, they said, what did that lady teach you? What did that lady tell you? Why has everything changed? He said, look, they would not send a teacher to teach me verbs and adverbs to a dying boy. That lady gave him hope that, man, I'm not going to die. This is not my final place. I've got a place. I get to get out of this place one day and be able to get home. And that lady gave him hope. That is what the Bible does to us. God gives us hope. The trials will come in your life. There will be hard times in your life. There'll be dark places in your life. But don't use those times as an excuse to get away from God. When the problems come, that doesn't show us that God isn't there. That shows us that we need to rely on Him more. We need to rely on the goodness of God. Amen. The world is full of sorrow. It's full of trouble. It's full of heartache. It's full of sin. Life is not fair. Whoever said life is fair never had kids. Whoever said life is fair didn't live a life here in this earth. But here's the thing. Life is not fair. But evil will reign. But here's the thing. We have hope that God gives us to say, hey, Christian, I see you. Hey, Christian, I hear you. You want to pray to me? I hear you. I'm here for you. Man, that is hope that we have to continue this life here on earth. Anything worth accomplishing comes with its shares of difficulties. But if you don't have hope, you will never finish. If I were to, me and my wife, we decided long ago that if we're going to have kids, we're going to keep our kids into church. And if we're going to have kids, we're going to raise our kids as godly as we can. You know what? I will tell you this. Our kids never fought that. They always wanted to go to church. They always wanted to listen to mommy and daddy. They never talked back. They always keep the room clean. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. But here's the thing. When those hard times came, when we're faced with a child screaming its head off, do we go, well, I guess it's just not going to work. No. That is when we keep pushing forward. That is when we say, look, if all else seems hopeless, but we're going to have hope to keep going. We are going to take those kids and we're going to try to raise them in as godly home as possible. That is where hope kicks in. What about living a holy life? Man, it's not easy to live a life clean and holy before God in this nasty world that we live in. But that doesn't give us an excuse not to. That is just shows us, hey, I'm going to hope that I'm going to live this godly life that God wants me to live. God says, be ye holy as I am holy. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty tall task. But God tells us to do so. Why? Because God has given us the hope to continue in that. When things start coming and we're like, man, this doesn't make any sense. I have hope in God that He has given me everything that I need to keep going for Him. The Bible says, that God, that he that hath begun a good work in you will finish it until the day of Christ. That is what God has done. God wants you to live a godly life. God wants you to rear your children for the Lord. God wants you to stay and keep your family into church. Is it easy? Is it easy when the kids are sick or when they're older, they're teenagers, and they don't want anything to do with church? Is it easy to keep them in a church? No. But that doesn't negate my responsibility. I am to keep I'm to keep the things that God has told me and to keep moving forward in hope. Yes, it will get better. Yes, there will be a brighter day. Man, is it going to be here? I don't know. We may live this life and you may have a physical difficulty. You may have a health condition for the rest of your life here on earth. But there will be a better day. You know when? When you get to heaven one day. When you get to heaven, you're not going to have those problems. You're not going to have any difficulties. Now, can I promise that here on earth it's going to be like that? No. You will have times of despair, but hope tells me, hey, you know what? I'm diagnosed with this, or I have this problem in my life. But one day I'm going to stand before God and all that's going to go away. Yet gives you hope to keep going, hope to continue. What is keeping you afloat? What is keeping you going? And then we need to turn to the God of hope. Take your Bible, Ephesians chapter 2, real quickly here. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse number 12, Ephesians 2:12. As preacher says, I'm about to shout. All right, let's read this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. This is how the world lives. No hope. But look what God tells us. And without God in the world. But now, Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I do not have anything of worth of my own life. The anything that's worth anything is because of Jesus Christ. And God says that I before was without hope. I before was without God, but now with Jesus Christ, I am made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have hope to keep going. I have God, the God of hope, to turn to. We read it already, but God is a God of hope. God has never, nor will never, fail you. You show me one part in the Bible where God has failed somebody. You can't, because God has never failed me. Have there been times where I haven't understood His will? Have there been times of difficulty? Yes, of course, I'm a sinner. And some of that stuff, most of that stuff, I brought on my own. But God has never failed me. The Bible says, draw nigh to Him and He will draw nigh to you. Call upon Him and He will answer you. God is there to hear us. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. God has never failed us. Those times where it doesn't make sense, God's there. God is there to help us. God is there. He's a God of hope. The Bible says in Hebrews 6:18 that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation or comfort who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. People that have left this life and held on to the God of hope, this is what it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that veil. God is a God of hope as an anchor to my life.
Yes, sir.
You know, what happens to an anchor? Man, on the top, what's going on with that ship? Anybody that's ever been fishing before, I've been on it on a boat. Just because they put that anchor down doesn't mean that ship stays right where it's at. No, on the surface, man, that ship is all over the place. The wind is blowing, the rain is coming down, and that ship is all over the place. But you know what happens? They are anchored with that anchor. That anchor keeps them in a spot. That anchor holds them fast. They're not going to be swept away into the ocean to die. They will be held fast by that anchor. Our life on here may look horrible on the outside. We may have things blowing all the way around us and things that just don't make sense. But we have an anchor steadfast and sure in the God of hope. The God of hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Jesus Christ is the anchor to my soul. Keep hoping. Turn to the God of hope. And then here's the last thing that we'll cover, is praise God. The Bible says in Psalm 71:14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more and more. Here's what happens to us. And we touched on this, but here's the thing. I look at these problems of this world and I neglect Jesus Christ. I neglect what God has done for me. But what happens when my hope is wavering? What happens when my faith is on a little bit of shaky ground? I start praising God. I say, God, you've brought me through times that are much worse than this. God, I've seen you work in other people's life, and I'm just going to praise you. God, here this last week on Friday, man, I was in a Walmart parking lot trying to get away. It's hard to get away with kids, okay? But I got away. I was in a Walmart parking lot. And man, I was shouting. I was praising God. Going through the alphabet. You know, God, you are almighty. God, you are the beginning and the end. God, you are the creator. God, you are divine. Man, you're just going through and I'm just praising God. You know what happened to my problems here on earth? Just went away. Did they go away? No, but they went away in my mind because my mind was not focused on my problems. My mind was focused on God. He's the God of hope. You have some things that you feel are just, they're insurmountable. They're impossible to overcome. Look to the God of hope. Praise the God of hope. God, this is what you've done in my life. God, I'm thankful for the things that you've given me. God, I'm thankful for the country I live in. I'm thankful for the family that I have. I'm thankful for the King James Bible. What is that? You're praising the God of hope. And it's amazing. Here's an amazing formula. You praise the God of hope. The closer you get to the God of hope, the more hope that you will have. Defeated Christians are Christians that have lost their connection with God. Yes, are they going to go to heaven when they die? Yes, if they've believed on Jesus Christ. But I would hate to live my life without God here on earth. Amen. I would just hate it. But we don't have to live that way. Amen. Praise God. Get your mind off your problems and start praising the God of hope. Here's the last thing. The Bible says in Titus 1:2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. We mentioned it already, but if you're hoping in your good life to get you to heaven, guess what? It's going to fail you. You're going to wake up, you're going to leave here, even probably in here, you're going to make a mistake, you're going to sin. We don't hope in our good works. We don't hope in a church. Yes, I love this church. Yes, this is the church that we're a part of, but this is not a perfect church. I'm not hoping in the money that I give. I'm not hoping in the actions or the family heritage that I have. I'm hoping in nothing less but Jesus Christ and His blood. I'm drawn nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. I would be amiss if I didn't ask those today, if you are trusting in anything else, if your hope for salvation, for eternal life is in anything else, I will tell you this, it's not a sure foundation. It will be shaky. There will be times of confusion. But here's the thing. God is a God of hope for your eternal life. It can be settled. It can be done through God. The Bible says in Romans 8:24, for we are saved by hope. Jesus has made a fail-proof way for us to receive His eternal gift. And that's through faith in Jesus Christ. That's by hoping in eternal life. Hope is an attitude of perseverance. It's a tenacity that God gives to us. It will give you the spark to keep going. Are you hoping in those right things? Are we caught up on the things of this world that are going to fail us? Are we trusting in God? Are we hoping in God? That is the problem that we have. No matter the decision, no matter the setbacks, no matter the struggles, no matter the challenges, you can have hope to continue through the God of hope. Let's go ahead and pray. If you're here this morning and you say, I've been there, unfortunately, but I've been there where I've lost hope in God. I'm living my life as if God doesn't even exist. I haven't spoken to Him in years. I haven't read His Word. I haven't tried to receive hope from God. I've gone to man. I've gone to friends. I've gone to Facebook. I've gone to social media. I've gone to things that fail me already instead of the one that has never failed me. If that's you this morning, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want you to think in your heart, God, I want to get back to you. God, I want to hope in the things that you've told me to hope in. God, I don't want to live this life just like the world, that we're aliens from God's word. I want to live my life in hope that you can do something special through my life, that you can use me to reach more people. You can use me while I have breath here on earth. God can use you, and that only is accomplished through hope in God. A hope to continue, a hope to keep going when those difficulties come.